Well, I'm excited to be here. Welcome everyone to this talk on DevOps That Matters, Demystifying CI/CD and Build Pipelines. I know you've had a full day of talks under your belt, and I am sure your brains are exploding with all of this new information. This session is less technical from a code perspective, but will be more thought-provoking around your current development and deployment processes. My goal here today is to provide you with one or two things that you can take back to your teams that will help you to be more efficient or improve the quality of your application or service. So a little bit about my background. I have been a developer for most of my career. Java server side is what my love is. However, I've also been a polyglot programmer over, you know, many different projects with a few different companies, both large and small. I've had successes and failures in each, and I'll be talking to you a little bit about both today. Although I love engineering and development, and I'm going on 20 years of doing that, I started taking more of an interest in speaking at events. And this picture here was actually taken in Edinburgh at the Unconference called J-ALBA. Bruno mentioned the Unconference called J-Crete. And these are two conferences that I'm involved with helping organize. And back when we get to a point where we can actually visit these places, I would love to continue going to these. This is where I started to get my speaking experience. And about several months ago in February, I got the opportunity to become a developer advocate with JFrog. And my love is to be able to help smooth the life of a developer. And it turns out that we have the same values. So that's why I'm here today and excited to talk to you about this. Before we go any further, we have a raffle. I asked if I could sign up for this because I don't have a Star Wars Lego set yet, but I was told I couldn't sign up for this. So for you, for attendees of this talk and for the next 30 minutes after, you can go to these links, take out your phone, take a picture, grab the bit.ly link, go and sign up for this raffle and get your chance to win a Lego set. All right, so getting on with it. Recently I was at a conference and I was part of an Ask Me Anything session. And the question that came up was, why should a developer care about DevOps? Well, my answer involves a lot of my personal experience of moving to a DevOps team from strictly development team over many, many years. When I started on a DevOps team, it was a new world for me. All of a sudden, I needed to consider different deployment environments now and how the code ran on each environment. I had to start caring more about memory and other resource requirements, load on the service. If my code wasn't efficient, that was a big problem in production. I needed to start caring about installation procedures, how to troubleshoot an actively running system without taking it out completely. I learned that we needed ways beyond my local dev environment to debug logs and to monitor the health of the application. I started to care more about observability, not just whether my application or service was up or down, but whether it was running smoothly, whether it was restarting over and over for some reason, whether it was running efficiently, especially under heavy load if there were a lot of requests for the service. I also started to care about knowing what metrics meant that my service was being attacked potentially somehow, either by a DOS attack or some bad actor that is taking advantage of a known vulnerability. Developers should care about DevOps because knowing how your application is actually deployed and its behavior in production will influence the decisions you make on the design and structure of your code. So today I'll start with a simple definition of DevOps if you're unaware or don't know this term yet, and I'll describe some of the components. We'll discuss your IT value stream, and along with that, I'll provide you some stories and suggestions from my own personal experience over time on a DevOps team. All right. So what is DevOps? Or another term you might hear, DevSecOps. I'm going to give you these resources here at the beginning of the talk. I think they're important and should be required reading, actually. A straight-up Wikipedia definition of DevOps is a set of practices that combines software development and IT operations. It aims to shorten the system's development lifecycle and provide continuous delivery with high software quality. Now, I'm not lying. That did come directly from Wikipedia, and it's actually a fairly good definition of DevOps. It's basically the idea that some of the walls between a development team and an operations team need to be rethought, redrawn. It does not mean that a developer needs to be an expert in everything operations or vice versa. It's more about improving communication, managing expectations, and working together to meet the same goals. So like I said, these three books here are required reading for anyone joining a DevOps team or wanting to know more. The first one is called The Phoenix Project, a really good book. It's from an executive's perspective, and it's not your typical educational tech manual that you normally would expect from a technical book. It's actually written in the form of a novel. There's several characters. It talks about their attempts to get some software into production and all of the hurdles and roadblocks that they meet along the way, and then also some of the things that they do to solve their problems. This first book, The Phoenix Project, is from an executive perspective. The second one is also written as a novel, and it's from the developer's perspective, which I found really interesting as well. The heroine in the book is a developer who is a really good developer, and she figures out, you know, the processes that she needs to take in order to help this project move along. The last book, the DevOps Handbook, this is a book that was actually purchased for many of my DevOps team members to read, and this one is more of an instructional manual. It gives you tips and advice on things that you can implement, options that you can choose to improve your life on a DevOps team. It's been a few years since I've read these books. It's time to reread them, I think, but they're really good. I do remember reading them. I had a lot of aha moments, thinking, wow, this sounds exactly like the project I was just working on, things like that. So this second term up here on this slide, the DevSecOps, what does that mean? That is the whole idea of shifting security left. And that involves the concept of making security, putting it more toward the beginning of your development process, instead of waiting till the end and making it an afterthought, applying security measures after your application is already out in production. By doing that in the beginning, it's a lot easier to work around security issues or bring them up in the beginning rather than change code at the end. So this is a slide that I often share in corporate talks. It's part of our corporate deck, a lot of them. It is a detailed step-by-step of the software development cycle that many of you work on every day. It is really busy. This slide is really busy, but I like it because it does a good job of highlighting how overwhelming the DevOps industry can be when presented with all of this stuff available to you in the market. The space is huge, and it's easy to get lost in the mix. And this whole process is an attempt to just to answer the questions, how do I build everything? How do I test everything? And then turn around and deploy everything. Where do my dependencies come from? How do I keep everything secure? How do I include automation to help increase the efficiency and reduce human error of my deployments? All of these things are pretty involved, and as you can see, there's a lot of products in here that will help you get to that point. I am not here today to tell you that one product is better than another. What I am here to explain and talk about is how what's more important is deciding what your priorities are. What is your current infrastructure? How is it set up? What would benefit you the most in your particular development pipeline? So a less busy slide, definitely simplified, This breaks down all of those things that you just saw into these core components. And there are DevOps practices around each of these components that can help you achieve your goals. The first is source code, your source code repository. I don't know many teams, if there are any left out there, that are not using some kind of source code repository. If you aren't, definitely that would be step one. You want a single source of truth, a common place for all of your developers to be putting code, editing code. And this is the repository where you would build your product from. Moving on, continuous integration. This is the CI in CI/CD, which is another common DevOps term. Continuous integration is simply the idea of building and testing on every single integration, meaning every time a developer makes a change to a code base, that change is moved along in the development cycle. A build is triggered, tests are run, everything, you make sure that everything passes before that code set, before that product is moved on to another stage. Third, your package manager. You need a way to inventory everything that goes into your build, into your product. You need a full bill of materials and a history of all of the binaries that you have included in your application in order for traceability and to this will definitely help you with troubleshooting down the line. If there's been some change or some update that caused an issue, you'll be able to backtrack and figure out what happened. Next along the line is security scanning. This is the deep scanning of dependencies and containers. In the container market, this is really important. A lot of our applications now are being containerized and put out just for ease of deployment and for scalability reasons. There are a lot of packages that get pulled into containers. The way that containers are built, they're layered. So it's important to understand what are in the base layers that you may not, that may not be visible to you on a day-to-day basis. Security scanners are available in a lot of different products to basically scan these images and these packages for any known security vulnerabilities that are out there that you should be protecting yourself from. It's better to do this earlier rather than wait for something to happen. It's pretty embarrassing when you have a product out there and there's a known vulnerability that you just didn't get around to, you know, updating a particular package. It's definitely worth keeping up with your updates and knowing about these things beforehand. Lastly, continuous deployment. This is the CD in CI/CD. This is just the idea of automating your deployment to all of your environments. And after every change and every quality gate has been passed and your product moves from development to testing to staging, this is the step that actually deploys this to your different environments so that you can run it and test it, or at the end, deploy it to production. All right, I put this picture of my car here. This is actually my car sitting in my garage right now. I got into a little door bender several months ago, and this car is pretty old. It's going on 18 years old now, and the last thing that I felt like doing was taking it to the body shop and getting it repaired. In fact, since I live in Colorado, the tires on this car are probably more valuable than the car itself at this point. So a quick trip to Amazon, I bought this little magnetic Band-Aid for $10 and put it on the dent. This might resemble a lot of your legacy software projects. The point I'm trying to make here is that before you jump in and start implementing a bunch of new processes, bringing in new tools, get together as a team and determine what your priorities actually are. What are your goals? Every project is different. And these are just some examples of priorities that you might, you know, toss back and forth among your team, fast, efficient, reliable, economical. These are just examples, and they're not necessarily in that order. So before you start adding a bunch of process and stuff to your project, take a good look at it and decide what is really important to you. So in a DevOps world, observability of your system is going to become extremely important. It already is. Developers are just now more involved in that process. I put this slide here to remind you, me to tell you a really interesting story that happened to me on a particular team. This is really around a specific business value that had been decided on in the product team, but not necessarily communicated to the development team or the operations team. There was a big disconnect. Most devs have seen code like this, like a log line like this before in a code base. And generally when I see something like this, it usually has something to do with a developer just putting something in order to troubleshoot locally on their system a code path, a particular code path that they are taking. This log statement is an info statement. Normally, I would see these as, you know, maybe a trace statement or maybe a debug statement. But anyway, I was in the middle of a code base and definitely in my developer silo. And I found a way to make this code base more efficient. And in doing that, I extracted some classes. I combined some code. And in that process, I ended up moving around and changing some of these log lines. Well, this was all great. I was pretty happy with the result. I ended up, this project ended up going off to production. And it wasn't until weeks later that I overheard someone in the kitchen, not even on my team. We had the better coffee on our floor. So some other team members would come down and discuss in the kitchen. I learned that there were these dashboards that were created. I didn't know that they existed. And one was measuring the use of a particular service. My ears perked up because this service was one that I had just worked on. And it turns out that their dashboard was showing a drastic decrease in the use of this service. And they were considering taking it out, not using it anymore, not supporting the service anymore. Well, I jumped in immediately, figured out that that dashboard was based on a specific log line in the code base. And since I had changed it and moved it, it was no longer counting the use of this particular service. So that's a pretty silly example, but it's a good example of how a lack of communication and not, you know, being on the same page regarding what your business values are, what they can do to you and the time that it can waste. Luckily, I was able to step in and we found a better way to observe how this service was being used by customers. So if you only get one thing out of this talk today, it's avoid those types of silos. Normally we talk about silos between members of a team, but I'm talking about silos between teams. Make sure that you are on the same page as product and a DevOps team. You need to be on the same page as operations as well. If everyone is pulling in different directions, you're going to end up stepping on each other, much like what happened in my log story. And when your team decides to charge a hill, make sure everyone involved in that effort is charging the same hill. You'll find through experience, there's a lot of focus on the end result, your service or application that's now running in production. Something you'll realize is that your end result is going to depend a lot on everything that happens before. Think of your software development lifecycle itself as a product. Consider the processes you take to get your product to production. Find the waste. What is it that is slowing everyone down? And part of this is determining your priorities. For your situation, is shortening the time between releases the top priority? Or is there a need to focus on quality or security? This is where pipelines come in, another popular term in DevOps. And pipeline is not a magical word. Everyone has a pipeline. Every piece of software out there has a pipeline, whether it's manual, automated, high-tech, or low-tech. This term is a bit overused. So many products and services out there even have the name pipeline in the name. All it is the steps required to get your code from development to production. Every member of your DevOps team should be familiar with your pipeline. If not, stop right now, get everyone together, and document these steps. Start with a whiteboard if you have to. There might be some surprises in there. I know when I joined my first DevOps team, I was pretty surprised when I learned of the pains that operations took in getting our software deployed. So in the context of your pipeline, for each of those required steps, look for improvements that you can make. Where can you get the biggest bang for your buck? We talked about making priorities as you step through your pipeline. You might adjust your priorities. And having these priorities is not enough. Make sure to document your goals and determine what metrics you can use to figure out if you've met them. Give yourself an actual goal to reach and a time limit to get there. Start out small with goals that improve some facet of your pipeline by 1%. An example of a bad goal would be, let's make this application be as efficient as possible. Let's improve our deployment time and make it as quick as possible. You want to have actual measurements so that you feel a sense of success and you can actually measure your progress as you make these improvements. This picture reminds me of another story. This is an example of a huge waste of time, really, on a team I was on, and it, just because of the way things were set up. But recognizing what the problem was and fixing it, huge gains in development. So this is about how we used source control. So this particular team at lots of developers, quite a number of developers, and we were all checking in code to the same place. We did not have a pull request system in place. So whatever, for example, whatever I checked in, that's what was there. We trusted each other, had to trust each other that we were running our builds and making sure everything was passing before checking in. The end result of that is you would come into work in the morning and you would need to check your email first thing, because if someone had checked something in that broke the build, you had to wait until that build was fixed before you could pull new code. These were donut days and a lot of time spent here. If you were the one responsible, you were the one responsible to bring donuts in for the day. So, depending on how much you value eating donuts, you might not see this problem as something that can be improved right away, but there definitely is a better way. Implementing that pull request system is huge. When your source is checked in to the source code repository, the build server should automatically build that code and test it, and then notify you that it's okay to merge this change into the main code branch. If you aren't doing this right now, definitely take a look at your process when you're checking in code and make sure that this is something that you're doing. Make sure you know your build. Know your dependencies, know where they're all coming from. Super, super important for security reasons. I have an example of a code base that was pretty huge, and I just didn't understand how it was being built. There were multiple modules involved, and as a new developer on the team, I was excited to just get in there and start working on something. Well, not knowing how all of those pieces and parts are put together really cost me a lot of development time. Every time I did a Maven clean and started a new build, every time I made a change, it was a waste of time sitting there for 20 minutes waiting for the build to complete. So understand your build. When you're new to a team, that's the first thing that you need to do. Go through your source code and understand how your build works. Another option that you can take to increase your efficiency, don't skimp on environments. Make sure you have a test environment. Make sure you have a staging environment. With the containerization resources that we have available out there, we really have no excuse not to be doing this. Don't just throw your stuff onto production and expect it to work perfectly. Lastly, deploying. I was on a team once where there were a lot of improvements to be made for deploying. I found that in one particular instance, there were several scripts in several different places that all needed to be manually updated for each build. This caused a problem anytime we needed to roll back a build. And if the person that knew where all of these scripts lived was sick, that was also a problem. So automating your build, setting it up to avoid human error like that will save you a lot of time. All right, last chance for your raffle. Go ahead and go to this bit.ly link and enter your information to see if you can get this Lego set. And I really appreciate everyone being here today. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Melissa. This was quite a DevOps talk, 25 minutes to talk about cultures and organizational changes and habits and processes and so on, and yes, talk about people. I think if it was like DevOps tools, 25 minutes should be okay. But when it comes to everything else around it, 25 minutes might not be enough, but you condensed, yes, and you highlighted the most important things. So thank you so much for that.